and you refuse to forgive, you're denying God. When the Holy Spirit says you ought to give and financially give that which belongs to you, and you resist that and you refuse to give, you're denying God. When God said, when the Scriptures tell us to witness and give people the gospel and share Christ with other people, and we refuse to do that, we're denying God. When the Holy Spirit says in a church service, you need to testify and praise God on Wednesday night during praise time, or maybe on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, you need to thank God for what He's done, and we refuse to do that, we're denying God. When the Holy Spirit says there's a brother or sister in Christ in need and we need to encourage them or go to them or be a help to them, and we refuse to reach out and extend a hand of fellowship and brotherhood and help, we refuse to reach out to them and decide to be selfish instead, we denied God. So understand, those people that got carried away, number one, are people that denied God. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 12 down to verse 16. Listen to these verses. 2 Chronicles 36 verse 12. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Again, so he's denying God. Not that God exists, but he's denying God's control in his life. Notice verse 13. And he also rebelled against the king Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Again, we're not talking about denying God's existence. We're talking about denying God's prominence or preeminence in our life. Notice what the Bible says in verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. Verse 17. Therefore he brought them upon the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men, man, or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. They were acting just like the heathen. Matter of fact, in verse 14, the Bible says, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. You see, those people that are carried away captive, spiritually speaking, or in the Old Testament it was physically, in the New Testament it's spiritually, people that are carried away, number one, they deny God's leading in their life. They may not deny God's existence, but they deny God's leading. In other words, I'm not going to listen to God. The Bible says they mocked his messengers. In verse 16, they despise his words. They mocked the messengers of God. They despise the words of God and misuse the prophets of God. Boy, we live in a generation today where they despise someone that's going to tell them the truth. Man, they don't want that. I've heard preachers say, as a matter of fact, I had a guy say one time, I was preaching a meeting in Texas. He's out at the end of the week. He said, preacher, I got one question for you. I said, all right. He said, do you preach at your church back home the way you preached here to us this week? I said, every Sunday. He said, if you were in the average Baptist church I know, he said, they wouldn't keep you a month. And the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of Baptist churches, that's why they don't keep a preacher more than 6 months. Because they tell them the truth, and they don't want to hear the truth. They despise the messenger, the Bible said in verse 16. They mock the messenger of God. They despise his words. They don't want to hear the word of God. There's a lot of people today, that's the reason you can go to a number of churches in town, and they're going to give you everything, a bit of a kind of psychology and feel-goodism. They're not going to give you this book. You know why? Because the average man does not want to know what God has to say. That's when there's so much psychology in the pulpit today, because they'll give you all sorts of what Dr. Phil says and what Oprah says and well, they'll be drawn to those masses and what Joel says because it makes me feel better. I'll tell you, there's a lot in this book that don't make me feel very good. But I'll tell you, if I conform to it and I'll yield to it, it'll change my life for the better. So understand, number one, they denied, those people deny God. Number two, they desire the flesh. People who are carried away captive by the flesh, number one, they deny God. Number two, they desire the flesh. In Jude chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 8, he said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignitaries. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, he said, for of this sort they are crept into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. That's that phrase again, led away or carried away. When people are carried away by the world, number one, they're carried away because they deny God. Number two, they desire the flesh. They desire the flesh. Now, I'll tell you, I don't care how long you've been saved, you still live in this old flesh. You're still going to fight. I remember someone talking to Brother Little one time and asking him about a specific thing. And they said, Brother Little, how old do you have to be to not to worry about that part of the flesh anymore? And Brother Little, who was 80 at the time, said, I don't know, but when I get there, I'll let you know. Well, I'll tell you, till the day you die, you're going to fight this old flesh. And we desire the flesh. So the people that are carried away captive, they deny God's leading, God's government, God's providence in the earth. They deny that. They don't deny God exists. They just deny God control. Sometimes they deny God access. Some of you in places you work and went to, the other was trying to do some work at home for some things and went to a website and I can get it on at the other office and I can go in and I get complete access. I tried on my home computer the other night, tried to save me a little bit of time. You know what it said? Access denied. Can't get there. You know, that's exactly what we do with God a lot of times. God tries to speak to a certain part of our heart and rearrange and adjust a certain part of our life, and it's almost like a screen that pops up and says access denied. We won't let God get there. We deny God. So the people that are carried away captive, number one, they deny God. Number two, very quickly, they desire the flesh. Notice number two, very quickly, not only do they we see the people that are carried away. Number two, we see the path that carries them away. The path that carries them away. Notice, first of all, it's a path. First of all, it's a path of concession. It's a path of concession. Understand that nobody or hardly anybody comes to church on Sunday morning, lives for God, serves God, prays, read their Bible, give to the church, give their tithes to the church and involved. And all of a sudden they get up one Monday morning and say, you know what? I'm done with church. I'm going to live for the world of the devil just as much as I can. It almost never happens that way. How's it happen? It happens by concession. It happens by saying, you know what? I go Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't need to have devotions every day. I don't need to read the Bible every day. I'll go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'll just read the Bible then. We concede that. We've got time to, you know, I don't have time to get in God's book. I got to get in Facebook. So I don't have time for that. So we concede. And then we concede that on Sunday morning, Sunday school's not important. I mean, they're just teaching God's word and doctrine and how we're supposed to do it. So that's not important. I'm going Sunday morning anyway, and I'm going Sunday night, and we concede. And then we concede here, and we concede there, and we concede that show's not that bad, or this song is not that bad, or that association won't affect me that much. And the path to being led captive always begins with a path of concession. Remember what Lot said? The Bible said that Lot set his eyes toward Sodom. Can you imagine? I can't help but wonder if Abraham didn't at some point in time say, Lot, what are you looking at over there? He said, oh, I'm just looking. You drive by the car lot, those headlights wink at you. Boy, those windshield wipers are calling you in, and next thing you know, you drive by, and you drive by, and you drive by, and you drive by, and next thing you know, you pull in there, and salesman walks up to you, and, wait, I'm just looking. You know what he's thinking? Yeah, pretty soon you're going to be buying too. Because that's where it begins. And so understand that the path to being held captive by the devil begins with concession. Lot just pitched his tent towards him. He wasn't going there. He didn't march in Abraham's tent one day and say, Abraham, I'm going to tell you what, I'm tired of your God. I'm tired of offering sacrifices. I'm tired of worshiping on the Sabbath day. I'm tired of doing this. I want you to know right now, I'm going out to Sodom. I'm going to live just as wicked as I can be. I'm going to let my daughters be immoral. I'm going to start loving the men of Sodom. I'm going to sit in the gate, and I'm going to laugh at the dirty jokes, and I'm going to let go the culture, and I'm going to set the homosexuality. Lot, Abraham, that's where I'm going. Lot never did that. But he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He just got his eyes there. Next thing you know, Lot is living in the midst of that filth. Not saying a word about it. Just letting it go around him. I say to you, the path of captivity, number one, is a path of concession. Notice number two very quickly, it's a path of concession. Number two, it's a path of progression. It's a path of progression. It concedes, but then all of a sudden we take another step. We take another step. Remember Reuben and Gad in Joshua chapter 16 and chapter 17? Reuben and Gad said, we want to stay outside the borders of the Canaan. We want to be close to you, but we want to go outside, and that way we can expand our horizons a little bit. And it began with Reuben and Gad. But notice what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 26. After the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilneser, the king of Assyria, and he carried them away. There's that phrase again. He carried them away. Now watch this. Even the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them to Halah and Habor and Hara over to the river Gozan unto this day. It started out with two tribes, Reuben and Gad, but didn't end there. Next thing you know, the half-tribe of Manasseh is there. Understand the path to captivity, spiritually speaking, in our day, number one, it's a path of concession. You have to give in some things. The devil says, you can go to church on Sunday, but I want Saturday night. And you can go to church on Sunday morning, but I want Wednesday night. All right, I'll concede Wednesday night. I'm tired, and been a long day, and I got up early and had to work on. I'll concede Wednesday night. And it's a path of concession. Number two, it's a path of progression. Notice number three very quickly. It's a path of, number one, concession. Number three, it's a path of progression. And when you start, it doesn't seem like that big of a deviation. It's not that big of a deal. Halloween night, 1983, a flight left Anchorage, Alaska, bound for South Korea. Unknown to the crew, the GPS system was 1.5 degrees off when they left the airport. Not a big deal. 1.5 degrees. They leave Anchorage, Alaska, head towards South Korea. Further they go, the farther they get off course. Until finally they find themselves in Soviet air territory. They catch them up on radar, Soviets not knowing the flight plan, not knowing the flight was coming near, go and they shoot down that jet and kill everybody on board. But when they started, there was just a little bit off. It's a progression. How many people have I sat and talked to and they made this statement, "Preacher, it was never supposed to go this far. It was never supposed to end up here." One of the most chilling scenes I've ever been a part of was many years ago. Many of you will remember this. When B.J. DeMatteis, Jeremy Brown, and Karen Eckman left Sumter, South Carolina, had stole some cars and been on what she said in court, a thrill ride is what it started off at in Sumter, South Carolina. They were just going to steal a car, have a little thrill ride, and sure enough, they leave Sumter, South Carolina, steal a car, and they get on the road, and the police start after them, and they chase them all the way through South Carolina, across the state line, through Waycross, finally through Tifton. They get to Sylvester, Georgia. They get a roadblock in Sylvester. They break through the roadblock, and they set up another roadblock in Daugherty County. They break through that one, and finally they stop in Daugherty County. They spend the night on the chase. They rob 10 homes in less than 6 hours in Daugherty County. The wee hours of the next morning, they went into Lee County, saw a couple coming out of their home early in the morning to go to the store. They shot and killed them, took their car, and took off for Arizona. They were finally captured in Arizona. I remember sitting on the grand jury when Karen Eckman, on her 16th birthday, walked in the courtroom of Daugherty County. Hands in shackles, shackles around her feet, shackles around her waist. She walked in the courtroom, 16th birthday, sat before us as a grand jury. I never forget as the district attorney was pressing for her to give some information. I never forget what he said. He said, "Will you tell me what was going on?" He said, "She sat in the car as they killed the couple from Lee County." She said, "I had no part of that, but she was a witness." And here's what the district attorney asked her. He said, "What was going through your mind when you sat in that car and you watched your two friends, Jeremy Brown and B.J. LeMatty, take those guns and kill that couple? What was going through your mind?" Here's what she said. I'll never forget it. She said it, and she began to scream in the courtroom. She began to cry and began to scream. It was just the grand jury and the judge and a few court reporters, no spectators at all. Never forget. Karen Eckman raised her hand up with her face and she began to scream these words. "It was never supposed to go this far. It was just a joyride. It was never supposed to end up here. And I remember sitting in that courtroom thinking, man, how many times have I heard believers say, preacher, it was never supposed to end up here. It was never supposed to end up in divorce. It was never supposed to end up in the jailhouse. It was never supposed to end up in the rehab center. It was never supposed to end up. But I'm telling you, the path to captivity is a concession, and then it's a progression. Notice number three very quickly. Not only is the path a progression, it's a concession. Notice number three, it's a deception. It's a deception. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, while they promised him liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he's brought in bondage. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess that not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Can I say to you, the path to captivity begins with concession. It moves on to progression. It ends in deception. It ends in deception. Well, preacher, I thought this was going to make me happy. I thought this drug would do it. I thought if I just had some alcohol, that would be. I thought if I got this mate and I got this person and I got this job or I got this position or I got this house or I got this whatever, you fill in the blank, that was supposed to satisfy me, and it never does. It never does. You understand that you and I have a God-shaped void inside of us that only God can fill. And nothing else in this world will fill that void. Not alcohol, not drugs, not illicit sex, not material gain, not anything you can imagine. Nothing will fill that void. Not all the material possessions you can put together. Not one of them is going to fill that God-shaped void in your life. You see, that path is a path of concession. It's a path of progression. It's a path of deception. It's a path that always leads to the wrong way. The Battle of the Bulge in World War II was almost lost completely because German soldiers went through, and it began as they went through the countryside of Germany. They went and swapped all the road signs. When the Allies came in, all the road signs leading to one place will lead to another direction. You know, can I say to you, that's exactly what the devil does. He changes the road signs. He changes the direction. He says, this will bring you happiness, and this will bring you happiness, and this will bring you contentment, and this will bring you joy, and this will bring you satisfaction. And the book says, no, this brings contentment and joy and peace and satisfaction. But he swaps the road signs. The path to captivity is a path of deception. Notice number three, not only we see the path of captivity, we see the people of captivity. Don't you notice number three very quickly? The place of captivity. Turn, if you will, please, to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Don't you notice the place of captivity? And again, I'm combining different stories of captivity in Old Testament, mainly for the reason to help you understand this was not a one-case isolated incident. The same methods work over and over and over and over again, and the same results are always the same. The path toward captivity, they carried them away 55 times, or over 50 times in the book of Jeremiah. The Bible says they carried them away. Look, if you would, please, Judges chapter 6. Now I say to you, the place of captivity, number one, is a place of no security. A place of captivity, spiritually speaking, is a place where there's no security. Notice, if you would, please, Judges chapter 2, or chapter 6, rather, and verse 2 and verse 3. Judges chapter 6, verse 2, and the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of Israel east, even they came up against them. They could not even go and get their crops because the Midianites would overcome them. Captivity is a place of no security. Notice number two, captivity is a place not only of no security, but captivity is a place of no song. A place of no security and a place of no song. Hold your place in Judges chapter 6. We'll come back there in just a moment. But listen to Psalm 137. Matter of fact, it's on the screen. Psalm 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Verse 2. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Verse 3. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us a mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Can I say to you, we are led away by deception. And when the world, when the lust, the lust of the flesh draws us away, as the Bible talks about in the book of James, we're drawn away of our own lust. When we follow the desires of the flesh, it is going to lead to a place of no security. We're always looking over our shoulder, always looking over who's out to get us, always looking for the next tragic event. It's a place of no security. It's a place of no song. I've never one time met a Christian who was backslidden from God that was happy. By the way, you won't meet them either. They're miserable. They've got no joy. They've got no song. They may carry a Bible and they may go to church occasionally, but deep down inside there's a longing that has never been filled. Can I say to you, the place of captivity is a place of no security. Number two, it's a place of no song. Number three, very quickly, Judges chapter 6 again, it's a place of no substance. Look in Judges chapter 6 and verse 4. Judges 6 verse 4, they're in captivity to the Midianites now, verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till thou come to Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 18, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and all the princes, all these he brought to Babylon. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 9, look at this verse, 2 Chronicles 12 verse 9. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. He, notice the phrase, the words in bold, he took all. I'll tell you, when the devil comes, he takes everything you've got. He takes it all. There's no joy, there's no song, there's no substance, there's no security. When the devil's allowed to take rule in your life, it starts with a concession, it moves on to a progression, it ends in deception, and I say to you, he's going to take everything. He has no compassion whatsoever. In our passage we read earlier, 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 16 and verse 17, he talks about how he took all those, he said, even the old people of the land, even those that stooped, even those that could barely move. Now, can you imagine? Here's the king of Babylon that is so cruel and so wicked and so has such a lack of, so heartless, if you will, that he began to move the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the Bible said he took the strong men, he took the leaders, and he took the old men, and even those that were about to die, who would probably not survive the journey. You would think that somebody with just an ounce of heart would let them say, you know what, let them die right there. Just let them die right there. Nebuchadnezzar said, no. Say, I'm taking everything. I'm taking all of it. May I say to you, it's a place of no security. It's a place of no substance. It's a place of no song. Very quickly, number four, how do we prevent being carried away? How do we prevent being carried away? We find story in Judges, in 1st and 2nd Kings, in Jeremiah and Isaiah, and all throughout the Old Testament where God's people were carried away captive. And it is never a pretty picture in the end. Never. So, preacher, how do we avoid it? We've read a number of passages of Scripture this morning in the New Testament about those that were carried away, those that were led away, those that were drawn away. We find those phrases, carried away, led away, and drawn away, all in the New Testament. They're all carried us away from God. So how do we prevent that? Notice number one, very quickly, number one, adhere to God's word. Adhere to God's word. Isaiah 2, verse 5, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Thy word is a light, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. So we avoid being held captive by the devil, number one, when we adhere to the word of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Number one, adhere to God's word. Number two, ask for the old paths. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and as for the old path, where is in the good way? Number one, adhere to God's word. Number two, ask for the old path. I say this reverently, I say it respectfully, but can I say to every young person, every young adult, every young married couple in here, you find you a godly, more mature couple that's walked through the, has been faithful to God and walked in the house of God. Learn from them, attach yourself to them, learn from them, grow from them, let them guide, help guide your life. Ask for the old paths. Ask for the old past. Number three, very quickly. I'm done. Number one, adhere to his word. Number two, ask for the old past. Number three, acknowledge him supremely. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He didn't say in some of your ways. He didn't say occasionally. He didn't say when you graduate high school. I get amazed at so many teenagers who graduate high school and say, preacher, I need to know God's will for my life. Hey, I'll tell you, God's will is just as important at 16, 15, 14, and 13 as it is at 18. Why do we wait till we get to 18? Find out God's will. Man, find out today. Then to graduate college. They forget God for about 4 years and they come back. I'm graduating college. I need to know God's will. Well, I'll tell you, God's will is important in your freshman year, your sophomore year, your junior year, your senior year. It's important always. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Now, the word acknowledge does not mean that they're there. Let me show you the difference. When Juliana was born, we would go to my parents' house, or we'd go to her parents' house. Before, we'd walk in, they'd welcome us. How you doing? Come on in. Good to see you. Here's what happens after the first child is born. If you've got one child here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You pull up in the driveway. You get out of the car. It's as though the car drove there itself. You no longer exist. Am I right, Brother Chris? Is that exactly what happens? Yes, sir. You don't exist anymore. You're not there. They don't acknowledge you anymore. All they want is that little bundle of joy that you brought in the back seat. That's all they care about. There's grandma right there. She said something. That's exactly the truth. Alan and Debbie come down. She says, Alan who? Oh, you drove them? Thank you for driving them. Appreciate it. Here's a tip. You can take them back tomorrow. Now, I'll tell you, you're talking about not being acknowledged. That's how you're not acknowledged. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the attention you give the kids. He's talking about the attention you would give the grandkid when they come up. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him supremely. I hope that none of us get carried away. I read that passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible said they carried them away. And I got to watching that phrase throughout the Old Testament. And it's over and over and over and over again. I got the New Testament. There it is again. Carried away. Carried away. Led away. Drawn away into captivity. The path of captivity, the place of captivity. We see path of captivity, the place of captivity, the people of captivity, and preventing captivity. Adhere to God's word. Acknowledge him supremely. And ask for the old path. And we won't end up in the same place. Say, preacher, I don't ever intend to go that far. Nobody ever does. But there's a 16-year-old girl that went to prison for life. I don't know how many years ago that's been. It's been a long time. As far as I know, Jeremy Brown committed suicide when the police caught up with him in Arizona. As far as I know, B.J. LeMaddy and Karen Aikman are still in jail. They'll be there, barring a miracle, till the day they die. But they never expected to go that far. And the believer who says, you know what, I'm just not going to go that far, the devil sits back and laughs at us and says, you poor fool, because he's going to take all.